Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Over 2,500 Irish people each year in this country will receive the devastating news of a lung cancer diagnosis. And it's the third most common cancer in this country, just after prostate and breast cancer. When you exclude non-melanoma skin cancer, more people die from lung cancer than any other forms of the disease. And we're chatting about this today because the Mary Keating Foundation's The Big Checkup returns for its fifth year. And they're really just trying to, I suppose, raise awareness about the signs and symptoms. But Samantha's with me in studio today. Samantha, good afternoon and thanks for joining us. You've been diagnosed with lung cancer. Tell us a little bit about your story.
First of all, thanks very much for having me here today. My story started in October 22, and I got COVID sided, and a lot of the symptoms were put down to long COVID. And from October to May, I was kind of getting inhalers, antibiotics and stuff like that. And then I decided I wanted to go further. I went into my doctor and I just asked her, listen, can I go for ears, nose and throat to get checked out to see what's going on here? And with that, I had a pain in my left lung and I just asked her, listen, can I get an x-ray? And when I got that x-ray, it came back 2 weeks later when I phoned up the doctor just to say, what's the story? Did I get my results? And she said, well, actually, a tumour showed up on your right lung. And I had to wait for a CT scan with the public system. And I just said, no, I just wanted to pay private, went private sided. The following week, found out, yes, that I had a tumour on my right side of my lung. And I ended up down in Cork University Hospital. And I ended up getting my top and middle lobe removed because where the tumour was. So on my right side, I have my top and middle lobe removed. So, life has been kind of tough for the last year. Yeah.
And it's remarkable, you know, Samantha, to think that really this sort of stemmed. I take it there were no signs and symptoms as such, but beyond you having been diagnosed with COVID and then the subsequent checkups, I suppose, that you pushed for after that.
Yeah, exactly. Like I had nothing, no signs whatsoever. Now, I used to get kind of the odd, like kind of I'd be tired and stuff like that, but I was putting it down work-life balance, like, you know, that you have a work-life balance here and you're just tired from it. And then when I got the COVID, I just got it extremely, extremely bad and this breathless started. And the breathless was one of the symptoms that I didn't know. And obviously because I'm a non-smoker and because my doctor was kind of saying, well, you're young then too. Basically, lung cancer didn't come into the question at all. And only for I kind of had this little pain or niggle because it ended up being stage 2, grade 3. So if I had have kind of ignored it, I would have been way ahead, kind of third or fourth stage. So I'm on a targeted treatment at the moment now and I'll be on that for 3 years.
Okay.
So that's kind of to help me to kind of protect it. So I have an EGFR mutation. So it's a cell mutation that I have. So I didn't get it from inherited from my parents or anything. It's just a cell change. So this.
How are you doing?
Okay. I'll just say okay. Yeah. Like the kind of mental side of it is very hard, like so it is. Yeah. And then you're kind of learning to breathe all over again and learning you can't do a lot of stuff that you did before, like. But I was very proud of myself there. The first anniversary then I climbed Crowpatrick. So I did.
Brilliant.
So I've kind of been pushing myself to do little kind of tasks and stuff like that. Yeah, yeah.
That was a big achievement.
Big achievement like then too. And then I'm in little groups like of I'm in the Irish Lung Cancer Society. I'm with the Marie Keaton and the Irish Cancer Society. And through them, then I have the Cushel Centre down in Portlaoise. So you get a lot of counselling and stuff like that. Like,
that goes
with it. That goes with it, like, yeah.
Gillian is with us on the line as well, Samantha. It's 1800 453 106 is the number. Gillian, you've been listening to Samantha share her experience with us. And it's, I suppose it's something that resonates with you.
It does. Good afternoon, ladies. So it's exactly 3 years to the day today that I was diagnosed with lung cancer at the young age of 40. My story was I had zero symptoms. I got my COVID vaccine and 6 weeks later, I was in a hospital after collapsing at work. And then following a couple of weeks of tests, I went to the hospital alone and was told, you have lung cancer. I said, I don't smoke, I'm too young, I don't fit stereotypical candidate for it. And no, I had it, surgery was going to happen, they were going to get it out. And that was it. They did surgery. They removed my right lobe. And I'm actually just waiting on a call from the hospital now to see what's next, because they found a new nodule back in April. So I'm just waiting for that.
The waiting. And how do you feel, Gillian?
I feel, I suppose, terrified in one sense, and then in another sense, it's just, I've dealt with it once, I'll get through it again. I just wish there was more support in this country, with more awareness in this country surrounding lung cancer, because everybody thinks it's an old person's disease. It only happens to people who smoke, whereas more and more young women and men under the age of 50 who've never smoked are being diagnosed with this disease. There's one person every 18 seconds in the world dies from lung cancer, and yet it receives so little funding and so little awareness.
Do you know, my own dad passed away 6 years ago from cancer, but lung cancer ended up being his, I suppose, the second, you know, the secondary form that he had. Yeah. And like that, he didn't smoke. And it's one of the first things people ask me when I say, oh, you know, he had lung cancer. People will say, oh, did you smoke? Or it's associated, isn't it, Samantha?
100%. 100%. Yeah, there is a big stigma around it that it's due to smoking. And I think a lot of people don't know the signs or anything about lung cancer. Like, there's a lot, like if you cough or cough up blood, go to your doctor. If you've got pain in your shoulder, pain in your back, go to your doctor. For me, it was the breathlessness. Fatigue is another one. Weight loss is another one. It's funny, I didn't lose weight. I actually gained weight, which was different for them. And they even said, God, it's a very unusual, like, too, like, you know. So there's a few symptoms people should look out for. And as I always say, you know your body. And if you're being an advocate for yourself, go to your doctor and get checked out. Like,
did you have some of those? I know yours sort of presented itself obviously very quickly, Gillian, in so far as that you, as you say, you collapsed in work. But those symptoms that Samantha mentioned, were they things that cropped up for you?
Well, I was a big fitness fanatic. So I was in the gym, I was running, I was nourishing my body. And then I went from being able to run a 10K most days to not being able to get up a flight of stairs without taking a break. So that's what I had. I had the breathlessness, but only for a short period. Like, it was a very short period. It was September to November when I was diagnosed. September when my symptoms started, November when I was diagnosed.
What have you found has helped you, Gillian, in that time now? You know, in terms of the services that are there, if anything?
There's no services.
There's no services.
There's no services. There's no equal access to cancer services for lung cancer, in my opinion, in this country. It's a taboo subject still. It's a very isolating cancer to have, and you're almost ashamed to tell people when they say, what type of cancer is it? Because you can straight away see the questions in their head forming. Well, she must have smoked. When in fact, all you need are lungs to get lung cancer.
That's what I was just going to say. All you need is a pair of lungs to get lung cancer. It's not spoken a lot in this country, so it is. And even when I went online, there was a lot of England, America. It's huge. We don't even have like a symbol, like a little white little flag to put on you to say you had lung cancer, you're supporting lung cancer. Whereas like you'd have, I suppose, the little flower for Irish Cancer Society.
Yeah, there's, you know, the little daffodil. The bow as well, the daffodil, the breast cancer.
The bow for breast cancer. There's nothing for lung cancer. Like, and every one of us need our lungs to basically breathe, so we do. And it's only when you have lung cancer, you have half a lung removed like myself, and it's funny the way you have to learn how to breathe back all over again. Like,
so you, the Mary Keating Foundation, we've mentioned that, Samantha. I suppose you wanted to kind of mention the support services or the assistance that's available through there.
Yeah, there's assistance through there. Like, they're trying to get out at the moment about the big checkup, and it's been running for the last 5 years. So it is, and there's service there, and a lot of people just don't use the service, and it's very hard to find a good service too for lung cancer.
What more, Gillian, should we be doing? Like, what more is somebody that's currently going through this and, as you say, awaiting results? What other help or assistance should we be offering to try and assist you and others?
Well, I suppose it would start in the hospitals, in the rapid access lung centres, or the GPs, to say, okay, so we're going to signpost you to the relevant support services where they're going to offer you counselling or peer-to-peer support to help you navigate this time. We should have had prehabilitation before our surgery, because it was major surgery that both Samantha and I had. We were supposed to have rehabilitation after our surgery. Now, for me, what I got was a physiotherapist in the hospital came and said, okay, if you can climb 5 steps for me, I'm going to be able to send you home. I got to 3 steps and I was put back into the wheelchair, wheeled back down to my room, and then I was told, you're good to go. So we, like, it's, you have to learn how to breathe again. You have to learn how to, like, use your breath, because
There's actually no rehabilitation. There's no rehabilitation afterwards. And even when I was going home, I got these 3 little balls and I had to blow into them every day and make them kind of pop up. And if I got the whole 3 of them across, I was doing well. Do you know what I can say? But there's definitely no rehabilitation afterwards. You're kind of going, here you are, here's your medication, off you go. And then you find your own way, basically.
What, Gillian, would you say to anybody else listening to yourself and Samantha today, maybe who's just only recently or this week got a diagnosis, or they're awaiting results or currently going through it? I suppose, what words of advice or support could you offer?
There is light at the end of the tunnel. Right now, it's very, very scary. And I'm back into that scenario again, awaiting results. But there's treatment. There's new treatments coming down the line all the time. If Samantha and I had been given this diagnosis 20 years ago, we probably wouldn't be here right now talking to you. But because of the advances in treatments and research, we're here, we're still here, and we're going to be here for another while yet, and talking and advocating and pushing the government to introduce a screening service to all ages, not just the medium age of 55 to 74, because I was 40. I got diagnosed 10 days after my 40th birthday. There's more and more young people getting diagnosed. So if in doubt, get checked out. Yeah. Be your own advocate, because you're going to save your own life.
And finally, Samantha, just on that, is that really, I suppose, what you're calling for, is a sort of a an annual screening service similar to what we have with breast check and you know, the mammogram?
Yeah, I actually brought that up. I said, if you can do breasts, why can't you do the lungs? They're not far off each other. If you're doing one, why can't you do the other? Like, and why wait until in the late 50s? As Jill said, there's a lot of people under the age of 40, and myself and Jill in that 40-year age bracket then too. Like, it's just absolutely ridiculous that there's nothing out there for us.
Samantha, thank you for coming in and joining us today, and best of luck, you know, with your recovery. And Gillian, the same to you. And we'll be thinking
thank
of you. Yeah, when you get the results, and hopefully it all goes well. And thanks for your time here on the programme today. That's Samantha and Gillian. And I should say, for anybody listening too, you can get more information about the big checkup. It's back for its 5th year. It's the Marie Keating Foundation, and you'll be able to access their, you know, the signs, the symptoms, the awareness and the details that they have too. Their support services, it's online, and that is on their website at Marie Keating Foundation too.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk.